They compete hard on the field and play to win.
But in real life, they have a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field with Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Phil Mosher on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I am Rob Motti. That is Doug Horton. And that is Pastor Kyle Horner.
Hi.
Pastor Kyle Horner, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio, Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University. We have an incredible lineup coming up tonight, guys. It is just a phenomenal all-star cast. First off, we're going to have three-time Cy Young Award winner, seven-time all-star. You could say arguably the best pitcher in baseball, but if you look at the stat, he is the best pitcher in baseball. Definitely. L.A. Dodgers star Clayton Kershaw, and he will be here, and he will talk about Jesus. So you'll hear that with us in the next segment. And then, guys, we are going to have a very special guest. One of the guys I consider an absolute must-listen-to preacher. It is Levi Lusco. He is the pastor of Fresh Life Church in Montana. So he will join us a bit later. And we were going a little bit back and forth over the weekend, guys, with just messing around a little bit with the Mount Rushmore of preachers and pastors and all of that stuff. And it was a lot of fun to discuss that. But it's going to be great just to have these guys on the show tonight.
Yeah, it's super exciting. And, you know, these are guys that – you know, we've watched podcasts of, we watched them speak, you know, talking about the pastors, wise, right? Obviously, Clayton Kershaw, one of the best pitchers in baseball, although
except
recently,
when he's against the Phillies.
Yeah. Which we appreciate, by the way.
Right?
I loved how Rob was like, you know, hey, we're going to get him on, and, you know, then the Phillies beat him. He's like, oh, now he may be in a bad mood.
I know. I was like, but, oh, man. I had to wait an extra 48 hours. I was like, let that loss simmer a little bit.
And, that was a good professional move by
but
you.
But you know what? He bounced back and had a nice win yesterday. So he is now 18-4 and on his way to a fourth Cy Young Award.
Wow. Yeah, he's doing awesome, and the team's doing well. But, Rob, you talk about the Mount Rushmores of pastors, and, you know, because Kyle's here, we probably won't talk about him just – because he's here.
Yeah, we can't put Kyle in that, because I tried. I sent my list, and Kyle was like, well, take me out. But my list had Levi Lusco, Stephen Furtick, and Carl Lentz were in my
– there's kind of like this new generation of young pastors.
Yeah, there are.
And Kyle, maybe you could talk about this, because this is kind of how your church, the Connect Church, is doing it. It's multiple satellite locations.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of been looking at that a little bit and kind of how it operates. And I know you were running all over between New Jersey and Philadelphia this past weekend preaching, but maybe talk about the philosophy behind that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, what a lot of the preachers today, a lot of the pastors today are trying to do is equip, raise up, and release young leaders in the world. And when I grew up, it was kind of the senior pastor was the be all end all of everything. And he was there until, you know, he basically went home to be with Jesus. And then there's this big long transition and who's going to take the pulpit. And, you know, especially for people who are founding or been there for a long time, it was a really tough thing to fill his shoes. And yet what we see in Jesus is somebody who actually raised up men, people under him, equipped them, and then released them so that the ministry could go wider than just one person. And, you know, we say all the time, we want to build on a vision, not on a personality. And in order to do that, that's one of those things that I think you have to do.
Yeah, and that's what they do. That's what Levi's doing out there at Fresh
Absolutely.
Life Church. And that's with all these young, hip guys, you know, you see them out there and they're in their skinny jeans and they got the tattoos. I don't wear skinny jeans. I got big, thick thighs and monster calves, so I can't wear them, but I'm tatted up. So I got that.
You're
a little bit.
There. You got it.
I'm halfway there.
It.
But guys, it is an all-star cast. So our theme tonight is going to be, because we have Clayton Kershaw, who is certainly, when he retires, I'm a Hall of Fame voter, and you know that, Doug. When he retires, when Clayton Kershaw retires, and he could retire right now, he will be presented on a ballot 5 years later. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He goes right in. And then, as we said, Pastor Levi Lusco, if there was such a thing, a Hall of Fame for pastors, he'd go in.
And do you think he's been preaching long enough in order to get in?
Yeah, yeah. He's 9 years at his church. He's definitely in there.
He's got your
vote.
But
because of those two guys tonight, our theme is going to be, you're a Hall of Famer too. And that's you. You're a Hall of Famer. Kyle, you're a Hall of Famer. Julia, you're a Hall of Famer. Ryan, if you're listening back there, and you should be, you're a Hall of Famer,
no,
too.
No, he's a Giants fan. There's exceptions. There's qualifications.
You don't have to be... You don't have to be a superstar pitcher. You don't have to be a mega church pastor. You don't have to be a media personality with a microphone. In God's eyes, every single one of us is a Hall of Famer. And here's the truth of the word. The word of Jesus is he died for every one of us. So no matter what we do for a living, no matter where we live, what we drive, no matter the size of our bank account, no matter how many degrees we have stacked up on our walls at home, we all, no matter how many followers we have, no matter social media, how many posts you get, no matter how likes you get, no matter any of that stuff, we're all equal in God's eyes. We're all Hall of Famers in the eyes of the Lord. And ultimately, that's all that matters, is we are Hall of Famers in his eyes. So I want to tell you guys a story, and I don't want it to seem like I'm picking on the media, because I am a media member, and oftentimes I'm embarrassed to be lumped in with the rest of the media. Just like a lot of people, sometimes their profession gets generalized and people look at us in the media as whiny, complainy, always wanting things and always having like a negative outlook. So, you know, sometimes the behavior isn't necessarily what it should be at all times. But the Eagles are playing the Giants yesterday, right? So now you got the Philadelphia media and you got the New York media, and that's never a good combination. So I'm in the men's room. You know how many times I go to the men's room probably during the course of a game, drinking water all day. I'm in there a lot. And at one point, I'm walking out, and I roll up the wet paper towel, and I take a shot at the basket. I miss. I'm not a good basketball player. I'm more of a baseball player. I can throw a football, but I can't really. You know, I'm a passer in basketball. I'm not a shooter. So I walk over, and I pick it up, and I throw it out. That's just what, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. And as I'm walking there, pick it up, throw it out, guy behind me does the same thing and misses. And then starts to leave.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude. Like, seriously, I was like, dude. And he's like, what? That's what the janitors get paid for.
Oh.
And I was like, are you kidding me? I'm like, get over there and pick it up. And I don't know this guy. So I don't, I'm pretty sure he was one of the New York media guys.
Gotta be New York media.
Yeah, if he was a Philly media guy, he definitely would have walked over and picked it up. So now I'm picking up for my guys. But the point of that story is the janitor is in that room and he's in that bathroom, and I didn't know it.
Really?
Wow. I didn't know it.
Wow.
So he follows me out and he comes up to me and he says, not often on my job do people treat me like a human being.
Shh.
Like the respect. He said, not often do I get treated like a human being here. And I was like, how is that possible? How do we just think so much of ourselves at a job like this, whether you're a media guy, I don't care what you're doing for a living. How do you make a janitor at a stadium feel less than human? There is no difference between him and I. Just because I'm there covering a game, who cares? And that's what it goes back to. In Jesus' eyes, in the Lord's eyes, we're all Hall of Famers and we're all equal. And that story, it made me sad to hear that. And I was like, man, I apologize for however other people are treating you. I don't, and sometimes, you know, guys will throw paper towels in the urinal.
Yeah. Mm.
What's that do? Yeah. It causes a horrible mess. And I'm like, why would you do that? Like, what? It drives me crazy. And I hope that people can, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, whether you're a believer or non-believer, it doesn't matter what you are, what your faith is, what your beliefs are. At least treat everyone with respect and at least make them feel like humans, no matter what the job is. Nothing is too menial in the eyes of God, because he says, and Pastor Kyle, I'm sure you'll have a verse to pull out, but everything you do, no matter what it is, do it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And do it all for the Lord.
Yeah. I actually think, Rob, you know, Jesus tells the parable about a good Samaritan who, you know, obviously a man was traveling and got set upon by robbers, beaten and bloody on the side of the road. And, you know, religious people walked by and left him there. And then there was this man who was a Samaritan who was considered kind of the outcast of society, someone that everybody else would look down on. And he's the one who responded to the need because he saw value in a human. And I think in today's world, that's probably the message that we would want to carry, that regardless of skin color or socioeconomic background, regardless of where educational standing, where we've come from, job, vocational training that we have, experience, we need to see the value in a human being. That and if we can do that, then we respond differently. If we'll be willing to listen to someone's story, you respond differently. If you see someone as a man or a woman, a mom or a dad, someone's brother, someone's sister, you respond differently. And I think sometimes we're so caught up, just kind of, we're so egocentric. We're so caught up in our own world and seeking our own value, seeking to make sure that we feel valuable, that we are willing to devalue another to make ourselves seem more valuable. And thus, that's where racism comes in, prejudice comes in, bias comes in, division comes in, hurt, manipulation, pain. So I think you're hitting on something. You saw something portrayed in a very small way that is a kind of a macro problem in our generation today.
Yeah, because you look at what's going on in this world and all the division that's happening, and you see it across the NFL yesterday and everything that's happening, and we're not going to get into the politics of it, but it all comes down to this core element, this teaching. If you love your neighbor as yourself,
yes.
If you love your neighbor as yourself, you will treat everyone with the respect and dignity that they deserve.
And that doesn't mean we have to agree with our neighbor on everything, Rob. And that's where somewhere along the line, I think we've confused that something has to be, the only time someone has to be right is if I agree with them. Yet, I don't have to agree with someone to love someone. Come on, we all have family members we don't agree with.
No doubt.
Right? We all have friends that we don't agree with on every point. But there's love and respect can be given regardless of agreement. And I think somewhere along the way, again, it gets back to our value. If someone doesn't agree with me, that somehow conveys a message that there's something wrong with me. That that then I must be wrong, and they're therefore less than. That's where we get back to, you know, again, seeking our own value.
Not to get into too much politics, but I heard a great quote this morning where somebody was talking about the right to be able to do what you want to do, like civil rights.
Yeah.
Right. And they said just because it's a civil right doesn't make it right. It makes it legal. Like, you have permission to do this based on the legality of it, but it doesn't mean it's right to do. You know, when you're going through, not to get into too much politics and everything too, but but you know, sometimes we just say, well, that's my right. I can do whatever I want.
Correct.
You know, and somebody says, no, you can't. Like, that's wrong to do, even though you're allowed to do it.
It's funny that you just said that, Doug, because we were talking the other day just about, you know, wearing restraint. And we don't always like to do that. And Jesus is in the garden right before he goes to the cross, and basically he says to them, look, don't get this wrong. I could call 78,000 angels to my side. Don't mess this up, right?
He's got them on speed dial.
Yeah. I got this if I want this, but he wore the restraint for someone else's benefit. No greater love is anyone else than this, that they give their life away, that they give their life away for someone else.
Well, what did Jesus do his entire ministry? He made the people that were outcasts that feel less than.
Correct.
Made them feel better.
He elevated their life.
That's who he targeted.
But Rob, that's a Hall of Fame life. A Hall of Fame life is being able to say, how can I elevate those around me? And sometimes when we think that, we always think just about kind of the homeless or, you know, the hungry or the addict. And those, that's absolutely true in our society. But how do I elevate the person who's going through a hard time in my marketplace? How do I elevate my next door neighbor who just lost a child like Levi did? How do he was sitting in Starbucks and said, no one in here knows the pain that I'm going through. And then he thought, wow, how many times have I been in Starbucks?
Yeah.
And was sitting next to someone I didn't know the pain they were going through. Everybody is going through pain. Are we focused? Are we stopping our world for a minute and saying, how can I help elevate this moment in someone else's life?
And you talk about a Hall of Fame life. And that is exactly that. It's not about our personal accomplishments.
Correct.
It's not about our accolades. It's not about Clayton Kershaw's 3 Cy Young awards and possibly 4 or MVP awards or World Series rings. It's not about that. It's about how he's affecting lives around him and how he's impacting other people. And we'll hear from him how he talks about all the things that he's doing in his mission work. And he doesn't look at it as his philanthropy. He looks at it as a way to be a faithful steward of what the Lord has blessed him with.
That's interesting you just said that, because, you know, I know you're a Hall of Fame voter, and some of the criteria is a little bit subjective.
Yeah,
But one of the things, the overall picture seems to be, what was the impact this person had on the game during his lifetime?
Yeah.
And I think if we all could step that out and be able to say in our own lives, what's the impact that I'm having for the game, for the kingdom, for the world around me, for my community. Because it's not about personal stats. It really is, in the bigger picture, about what's the impact I'm having on the game.
Yeah.
David served his generation, the Bible says, and then he went home to be with the Lord.
But you know what's cool is, you talk about some Major League Baseball players that potentially have asterisks next to their name, or they may not get them because of things they've done, right? Yeah. But the cool thing is, when you're talking about God's evaluation of us getting into heaven, we're going to mess up.
Don't you think
we all have asterisks?
We all have asterisks.
We all have a big, giant two asterisks saying, well,
maybe more.
Imagine if we had conditions. Imagine if God placed conditions on us that we as Hall of Fame voters place on other players when they're coming through on the ballot. Can you imagine that?
We're all Hall of Famers, all with asterisks.
Here's what's funny about that, Rob, what you just said is true. He did place those conditions on us. We failed. Jesus took those conditions, and therefore in Christ, they were completed. So we already are. We already have those qualifications. It's not trying to get the qualifications. It's simply living those things out.
Since accepting
that
grace.
We already have it. We're already that. So then live that out.
So when we come back, guys, we're going to hear from Clayton Kershaw. You are listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you'll meet alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
Hey, we get it. You're facing a lot of pressure. You got to make money. You got to have a life. You're running your kids everywhere and you have to keep it all together. Easier said than done, right? Well, not necessarily. We're not experts. We just understand the pressures people face, and our resources are here to help. Contact Biblical Strategies for help that can begin to make a real difference. Just go to biblicalstrategies.com, biblicalstrategies.com.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I am Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. And last week I had an opportunity to sit down and chat briefly with Dodgers superstar Clayton Kershaw, who, as I said earlier in the show, is probably on his way to winning his fourth Cy Young Award in the National League this season. He is 18-4 with a 2.21 ERA, and he is 144-64 in his career. Phenomenal numbers, but as Pastor Kyle said earlier, it is not about the personal stats. Now, as I said, I'm a Hall of Fame voter, and there's zero doubt when Clayton Kershaw's name appears on that ballot 5 years after he retires, he's going to get in on the first ballot. But Clayton Kershaw is more than just a great pitcher. He's a Christian who is not shy at all about expressing his faith. So here's my conversation with Clayton Kershaw, brought to you by Victor Athletics. Check them out at v1ktor.com. Clayton, great to have you on Faith on the Field Show. When we see you out on the mound, you are a guy who seems to be always in control. But a lot of that has to do with God is in control of your life. Tell us about that and when you gave your life to Christ.
Yeah, I mean, I firmly believe that. I grew up in the church. My family, we went to church growing up, but started really understanding what it meant to be a follower of Jesus when I was probably in high school sometime. And then from there, just, trying to grow my faith since then.
How impactful has that been in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I think more than anything, just, putting in perspective what this baseball thing means and understanding that it's a gift, didn't do anything to deserve that. And realizing that, if we continue to look to God to guide our path, I think, never know what could happen. Baseball could end tomorrow, but, just understanding that God's in control of it and we're not.
A lot of times we talk about people who do missionary work, that some guys go to overseas trips, Haiti, Africa, whatever. You could also be a missionary right at home. You could just talk to the person next to you, talk to the person at your locker, talk to your neighbor, talk to whoever it is about Jesus. I know you do a lot of work over in Africa. Tell us about that and what that means to you.
Yeah, we do a lot of stuff all over the world, actually. We have 4 different beneficiaries for our charity, and two in the U.S. and then 2 overseas, or in the Dominican and Africa, actually. So, you know, once again, just using God's platform. You know, we don't think of it as philanthropy, but more stewardship. You know, whatever God's given us, we're just the vessel for it. You know, we don't own anything that we have. You know, it's all a gift from God, and so just trying to just be good stewards of what He gives us.
It's not always easy to be bold in your faith, especially in a world where sometimes people frown upon being someone who just puts your faith out there. You're not afraid of that. You've made it known that you are a Christ follower. Do you ever have a hard time maybe relating to someone else on your team, or do you find moments or look for opportunities where you can share the gospel with them?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, especially in today's culture, it's kind of the cultural norm is just to accept everybody for what they are. And I firmly believe that you're supposed to love everybody. You know, that's God's one, you know, boldest commandment. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that you can't believe in Jesus. You know, and I feel like Jesus is the only true way to heaven. And, you know, there's a lot of other things out there. There's a lot of things that people believe in. And you're supposed to love everybody. And you're not supposed to convert anybody. That's God's job. You know, but at the same time, you can be His disciple. You can live for Him. And when people ask you why you are living for Him, you can show them why. You can show them your faith, profess your faith. But at the end of the day, it's not for our job to convert people. We're just supposed to, you know, follow Jesus and have people see how we live our lives.
Thank you, Clayton. Appreciate your time.
All right.
And that was Clayton Kershaw. That interview was brought to you by Victor Athletics. Check them out at v1ktor.com. It was short but sweet, and he hits on a lot of topics that we have discussed in the past that we were talking about tonight. And I want to start off with this one. Baseball can end tomorrow, but God is in control. He gets it, guys. He completely gets it. He understands the fact that it isn't about his personal accomplishments. It's not about his stats. It's about what he's doing for the kingdom. And, you know, I get to ask him a little bit about sharing his faith. And he talks about what we were discussing earlier on is you got to love everybody. Love everybody. No matter how they feel, how differently their views are from you. But Jesus, ultimately, Jesus is the only true way to heaven. And you can show your faith and have people see it by the way you live your lives.
Well, how many people would turn around and say, hey, if I was a baseball player and I couldn't be a baseball player anymore, my life would be over?
So many guys, because that's their identity.
Yeah. It is, and that's a major problem. And we find that in athletics when guys get injured, and even high school kids that find their identity in their football team or their soccer team, their baseball team. But for a guy to get that, saying, hey, even if I lost baseball, God's still got another plan for me.
And some people may look at that and go, well, that's easy for you to say. You've done all this. True. You've accumulated so much. You make so much money. But this was Clayton 5 years ago. This was him 6 years ago. And as he said in there, he grew up in the church, and then he really understood what it meant to accept Christ as a teenager. So this was him growing up and coming through and all the way up through the minor leagues and into the majors and just all of the things that he's doing, too, as well.
Rob, well, you know, most people would look at that and they'd be like, hey, you're a professional baseball player. You've been an all-star. You're a Hall of Famer. So who cares? You've made enough money. You're going to be okay even though baseball's done. You know, we've talked about the stat on the show a number of times that within 3 years of professional athletes, when they retire, that 70% of them are bankrupt.
Yeah.
And divorced. Yeah. Right. It's incredible.
So for people to turn around to understand what they're going through, it doesn't mean that they're going to be set for the rest of their life. It could be if they handle things the right way. You're working with athletes.
Yeah. I mean, I think Doug, what you're talking about is absolutely true. I think it doesn't matter whether you're a pitcher for the Dodgers or whether you are the janitor in the link on Sunday. I think if you don't understand your daily purpose and you don't understand your identity, who you are, it doesn't matter how much you have or how much you don't have. You'll never be satisfied inside. And what I heard Clayton say is in that statement is it's okay. I understand seasons come and seasons go, but I am who I am. And I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to steward the gift that I have in the season that I'm in, whether that's on a mound pitching for the Dodgers or whether that's being a husband or a dad or whatever comes afterwards. And it really is that kind of parable of the talents, isn't it?
When he says something like, we don't own anything we have, and this is a guy to whom much is given, much is expected, right? And he's been given quite a bit. Yeah. He has been blessed quite a bit. But then he says, we don't own anything we have. It's all a gift from God, and we're trying to be faithful stewards of what he's given us. There are so many guys who can go through life and athletes trying to accumulate wealth and material possessions, but then they find their life is empty and it's shallow. Because at the end of the day, all of the stuff you have doesn't really mean much if you don't have Jesus.
Well, take it all. Take off professional athletes. How about all the rest of us? trying to get by, you know, the executive of a company, you know, and you talk about layoffs, you know, there's been tremendous, you know, let's just came into my head, you know, you talk about the stock market crashing. Why are guys jumping out of windows committing suicide?
Wow.
You know, because their lives are over because it's found in their success. They've lost millions of dollars.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you know, what's the difference? You know, you get you tearing your elbow up or your shoulder up or the stock market crashing. And that's what your profession is. If that's what your identity is found in, whether you're an athlete, whether you're an executive, whether you're a janitor, whoever you are.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's where it comes down to really understanding who you're, what your identity is and going at it every day.
You know, can you think of that, though, that your life has reached a point because you've lost money, because you've just lost money, as you're talking about these guys, stock market crashes, because you've lost money, you're willing to end your life. And you may be a husband, you may be a father, you have people depending on you, but your value is found in what you own and what you have in your bank account. And that's so unfortunate.
Well, you don't see a way out.
Yeah. It's sad.
You know, we've talked about this, how you could turn to drugs, alcohol, anything to fill that void or try and just take away pain. You know, we're going to talk about this with Levi, too. You know, like, what do you do when you face that situation that's just completely overwhelming? Like, you feel like you're drowning, like you can barely get your nose out of the water, that everything's going to drown. And and what do you do at that stage?
I think it's, you know, it's interesting. I know we've all borrowed a friend's car. What I know is this, when you borrow a friend's car, you treat it much differently than when you treat your own.
That's interesting.
Like when I borrow my friend's car, I don't throw my, you know, my McDonald's bag in the back, right? I don't leave my empty cup in the holder. I don't let it get dirty. I don't, you know, there's just.
You're not really eating that stuff though.
Not anymore. I can't anymore. I'm almost 50. It sits differently. But the truth is when you realize it's not yours, that's the beautiful in this thing.
Yeah.
Like my life is not mine. The moment I came to Jesus, my life is not mine any longer. It actually is his. So how I steward it matters. And that's why when people will say, well, I'm only affecting myself. What's the big deal? Well, it's not just a big, it's your life is not your own. I was bought at a price. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about it all the time. In every one of his letters, he introduces himself. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. I'm a prisoner of Jesus. Not in a negative way, in a willing way to say, in this moment, I know who I am and I know whose I am. And my responsibility is to my master.
And he's so willing to accept it. Paul.
Yeah.
And we talk about Paul almost on a weekly basis because he is one of the greatest apostles ever and authored all those books in the Bible. But he's so willing to accept the situation that he's in, what God put him in. And he was in shackles. He was in prison.
Yep.
And that's what he put him in. And so many of us are in shackles and in prison in our own lives, in our own world, in our own minds.
Yeah.
And we need to find a way to get out of that. Pastor Levi Lusko's got a powerful story, a powerful testimony. He's impacted and affected so many lives across this country, and we are so looking forward to talking to him when we come back. You are listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. Hey guys, it's Rob Motti. I want to tell you about a can't miss event that's coming up in a few months. I did it last fall. It's called Goliathon, and it's a Ninja Warrior type obstacle run that's tiered for all skill levels, which means you can run the event as a family or as a group of friends. Even if you're at different fitness levels. The course is about 4 miles long with 12 tiered obstacles that are unique, challenging, and a load of fun. And the best part is, all proceeds fund clean water projects in developing countries. The next Goliathon event is October 21st in Mullica Hill, New Jersey. Entry price increases are coming soon, so sign up today. Go to goliathon.com for details.
Fall is around the corner, and what a fantastic time with football after church on Sundays and the incredible spectrum of leaves showing off a vibrant display of colors. It's also a perfect time of year to be aware of what your trees are telling you. Did you know that trees can talk to you? Example, if a tree is showing poor growth, it is making you aware that it has impacted soils or it could be suffering from improper planting techniques. Tree Awareness in Swedesboro, New Jersey has a 5-point health and wellness check that can accurately diagnose exactly what your tree is telling you. In this case, it would remedy the situation with root mulching, root invigoration, root pruning, or perhaps even root crown excavation. There's only one way to know for sure what your tree is making you aware of. Call the Tree Awareness experts at 888-429-TREE. That's 888-429-8733, and check them out at treeawareness.com for the life of your trees.
Brown. Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. I am Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. Guys, we are in our 24th week, 24th episode, and if you have missed any of our previous episodes, you didn't miss them, because you can go back and you can catch up on iTunes. You can subscribe to Faith on the Field Show, download and listen at your convenience. We've had so many guests on, Doug, Carson Wentz, Mike Schmidt, Adam Wainwright, Coach Dabo Swinney, Deshaun Watson, who almost beat Tom Brady this weekend. How about that game, huh? Incredible. Justin Forsett, Curtis Granderson. We've had Steve Smith on, the former Carolina Panthers star, Michael Vick. We've had guys on from the Colorado Rockies who are they almost clinched the playoff spot yet? The Colorado Rockies, Ian Desmond and Trevor Story. David Akers has been on it. We've had so many guests on, but you can go back. You can download on iTunes and you can listen to any episode. You can see some of our titles like Know Your Worth, Christianity Isn't Easy, Trust God's Process. I was down at 76ers Media Day where all I heard was trust the process today. No, we are trusting God's process. And they can also follow us. Tell them where they can get us online, Doug.
So we have Instagram accounts. You can go on Faith in the Field Show for Instagram. Also on Twitter, Faith in the Field Show, and Faith in the Field on Facebook. So also log in. Everything, as Rob said, is on faithinthefieldshow.com, which makes it really easy to get all the episodes out. But Rob, the cool thing, when you go back and you read all those names, you kind of say, wow, that's a name that most people know about.
Yeah.
But I'll just go back to our story a while ago. When people ask me, hey, what episode should I listen to? There's a couple
favorites. You get that, right?
I get that all the time,
yeah.
And it's kind of cool because you can say, hey, you know what? I've listened to this one, and I think this is where you're at right now. And I think this message, either from the athlete, from the pastor that's on, or just the title, or whatever we're talking about, kind of fits with what you're going through. And a lot of times, it's funny because I give out the Ian Desmond interview.
Do you really?
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because we did that one together. Mm-hmm. And we walk in, he's kind of like, all right, yeah, I'll do the interview with you. You know, he's just kind of like, Rob's like, oh, you know, we want to get some other guys. You know, we're reading for Trevor Story that day.
Yeah.
But we start talking to Ian, he just looked at us, straight face. And then Rob starts asking him questions. You know, we're talking to him a little bit. And it just came out of him.
So
it was
thoughtful.
Awesome.
Everything
and
was
deep. And it was
thoughtful.
Deep. And we got done. We were like, man, were we wrong about that guy, right? I mean, if you would ask me, you know, which episode would you want to talk about? Now, obviously, that's the one episode we talked about Kyle on too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, well.
I mean, that's part of it too.
I mean,
that was Kyle's first episode.
That may have made the episode, right? That may have made it what
it was. It's just kind of cool. Like, you know, if you listen to him, like, the goal is maybe to entertain you, maybe to challenge you a little bit, but I think the big thing is share it out. You know, if you could share it out and have other people listen to it. I mean, Rob shared something with me this past week, and I listened to it when I was driving to work, and it was a sermon by Levi Lusco.
Yeah.
And I got to work, and, you know, not to get into it too much because he's going to be on a little bit, but, man, it impacted my life, you know, to the point where
I'm glad, man.
You know, we bought his book. And
you know, we're on sports radio. I'm glad that morning you didn't listen to sports radio.
You challenged
and you listened to that sermon. I said to him, hey, I know who you're going to listen to this morning. Don't listen to that guy. I want you to listen to Pastor Levi and hear that sermon.
But you know what? You felt led to do that, and you challenged me, and you just did it. And that's what you would do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're just going to challenge. But that stuck with me, and I really felt convicted. So I was driving up to work, and I was listening to your boy, you know, some other guys, right? And so I was like, what am I going to listen to today? And I was like, you know what? I have this. Let me check it out. And literally, it changed my entire day, my entire weekend, and it was pretty phenomenal. So you just never know what you're going to say to somebody that can potentially change their life at that time. And that's God speaking.
Absolutely. You know? I love that what you just said is so true, Doug. Like, at the end of it, that's what's so powerful about this show, is that if you're a sports fan and you love God, or you just want to even challenge your life or stretch your life, you can listen to these podcasts when you drive to work, and you get a little of both. Because sometimes, especially in Philly, sometimes when you're driving to work, you might end up at work or end up in a ditch.
Somebody called it Negadelphia before, right?
We sometimes don't always
we
have
won. It's good.
But today was good sports radio. It was fantastic.
But you know what? You could share it with anybody. You know, like, so Levi Lusco is coming on. Clayton Kershaw's on. California and Montana.
Yeah. You know, right? People were reaching out to me in the Midwest and Illinois. How can we let you can listen live through iHeartRadio and you can listen live through TuneIn Radio, and you can go back and download on iTunes. We're talking about you're a Hall of Famer too. You're a Hall of Famer. You're a Hall of Famer. You're a Hall of Famer. Everyone is a Hall of Famer in God's eyes. And I told a story about, and I hate to, but the press box and the stadium, and that's all my life because that's where I spend most of my work. And I told this story probably way back in episode 2. So I'm going to tell it for other people who may be listening in for the first time. And Doug, you know my feelings on the term VIP, right? So this was after a Flyers game a couple years ago down at the Wells Fargo Center in Philly. And there are two elevators that take you downstairs, okay? So two elevators will take you downstairs, and the one elevator is dedicated right for the press only, and the other one is for people who work in the arena, whether they are janitors, whether they're taking food to the suites, no matter what they're doing, they take that one. And sometimes some of the media sneaks onto that one, okay? But after a game, they close off the one elevator, and they call it VIP Media Elevator. So I'm about to get on at this point. I'm running a little bit late. Other guys are down there, and I want to get on, and there's a woman who is pushing some barrels of trash, and she's waiting, but she can't go on. And I said to her, why can't you go on? And she said, well, that's just the VIP elevator. And I said to her, I'm like, well, I'm not going to ride it unless you ride it. And she said, I can't, because if my boss sees me, I'll get fired because I'm not supposed to be on the VIP elevator. And I said to her, if your boss sees you and wants to fire you, I'll take the blame because I'm forcing you to come on this elevator and ride it because I am not going to be on this elevator by myself. You are a VIP too. And I hate that term VIP. And as I've been saying all night long, we're all very important people. By the time we get to the bottom, she's in tears. She's telling me that nobody has ever treated her that way. Wow. And I'm thinking, you know, that's sad, man. Terms like VIP. Come on now. You know, we're all VIPs. Yeah. We're all Hall of Famers. Every single one of us in the Lord's eyes, we're all the same. Love each other. Treat each other the same. And then, you know, you can have those feelings reciprocated.
Yeah, you know, Rob, you know, a lot of friends ask me because they don't necessarily know you, right? And they're like, what's Rob really like, right? And, you know, they see that you're on reality TV. They see your hair and your tight shirts and, you know, everything. And I'm
they're
like,
extra large, Doug. And, they so, just fit me differently.
No, right?
If you work out.
But let me tell you something about Rob. When he tells these stories, it's truly because he has a passion for that. And just as much as you want to challenge everybody else out there, you hold me accountable, you challenge me. I actually saw one of our janitorial staff at Eastern the other day, and I see her all the time. I'm like, hey, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Just trying to say hi. And I said, you know what? I've never even asked you your name. You know, and like, but I don't know that I would have done that because you're sitting in my head and I'm like, you know what? This is something Rob would do. And it just, I just want to let people know this isn't fake. You know, what you're doing as your friend and as co-host and everything else that we're doing, but like, you're not just doing this for the sake of the show.
I appreciate
like, this
that,
is something
man.
That you're going to do when nobody else is watching. Yeah, we could talk about
that's
it.
That's what it's all about.
But you're passionate about it. But I just want everybody to know, like, that's what you're all about. And you actually do live it out that way. So I appreciate it, brother. So keep doing it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And joining us now is a pastor who is truly anointed. He is one of the best preachers that I have ever heard. He is a best-selling author. He is a father, a husband. He is the pastor of Fresh Life Church, which has multiple campuses in Montana, Oregon, Utah, Canada. I think they're coming soon to Wyoming. Pastor Levi Lusco, it is so great to have you on Faith on the Field show. Hey, Pastor.
Oh, hey, Rob. Thank you for having me on. It's amazing to be on with you.
Hey, man. Our theme tonight, Pastor Levi, is you're a Hall of Famer, too. And we had Clayton Kershaw on, who was one of the best pitchers in baseball history, a future Hall of Famer. We now have you on, and I've said all night long, in my eyes, you'd be a Hall of Famer if they had such a thing for pastors and preachers. But in God's eyes, in the Lord's eyes, all of us, we're all Hall of Famers. We're all equal, and all of us need Jesus equally. How do you teach that concept?
You know, that's a great question. I think what I really try and stress is value comes from what someone's willing to pay to buy something. At the end of the day, something's value comes from what will someone pay for it? You can put a price tag of $1,000, but if what someone will pay is $5, that's what it's worth, right? Well, you think about every single person, what God was willing to pay to buy us. And the Bible says he was willing to pay the blood of his own son, Jesus. So no matter who you are, you were worth Jesus to God. And that's a pretty high value. The most important person who ever lived was willing to die to save you. So at the end of the day, I mean, talk about a Hall of Famer. If God's son, Jesus, was willing to lay his life down to save someone, that makes them valuable in my eyes. And so I try and really stress the currency that God spent to save you. And that means that you are really important. And then from there, you go on to what God's calling is on someone's life. And I think, you know, we use the word genius wrong. Genius, we think, means someone who's good at everything. But genius is someone who's tremendously good at something. You're a genius, and I'm a genius. We're all a genius at something. I couldn't host a radio show, but I can preach a sermon. I couldn't throw a baseball, but I could design a stadium. I couldn't paint a painting, but I could write a song. I can be a genius at one thing, but terrible at some other stuff. Albert Einstein was great with math, but forgot to put socks on. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, yep. Hey.
So I kind of go from there.
We're all TDF to die for. And Jesus, he sent his son for us. Now we're talking faith, Pastor Levi, on a sports radio station. So we like to tackle the toughest questions out there from believers, from non-believers. And the toughest question that we ever face is always the same. It's always, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? My partner, Doug Horton, sitting here to my left, experienced the worst kind of loss imaginable a couple years ago when his four-month-old son went to heaven. Pastor Levi, your five-year-old daughter, Lenya, went to be with the Lord in December 2012. But I've heard you say in sermons, it is an incredible honor to be entrusted with pain. That is so powerful, and I want you to explain that for everyone.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I think anytime we ask the question, why, even if we get the answer, it's not going to satisfy us. Even if we understood, because every dark thing, every hard thing that's ever happened, God did have to allow it. Because the devil can't do anything without asking God's permission. We see in scripture he had to ask God's permission to afflict Job. So deep down, we have to theologically either accept a God who's not in control or one who's in control, but that has made decisions that have adversely affected us. But when we stop asking why, and instead we remember that God didn't want evil to come into the world at all, in the sense that when he gave humans free will, he told us not to do the sinful things that would bring consequences in. God allowed us to make those decisions, and we were the ones who brought in the evil, and we brought in pain at the end of the day. So far as when hardship comes to each of us individually, we could choose to say, why did this happen? But the answer is not going to satisfy us. If I found out why all the particulars were arranged where my daughter would go to, you know, to leave this world, you know, if I found that out, I don't think it would bring her back. It would just give me some piece of information. So the better question is, what does God want to accomplish through this? In Doug, you know, having to go through what he did, and in my family hurting as we did, what does God want to do now? Because the sin and the pain and the death and the hardship is what it is, but God always has a plan to restore. So when sin came in the Garden of Eden, God had a plan to send his son. So that was what he wanted to do in it. So I could sit around and go, why did this happen to Lenya? Why did Doug's, you know, child get taken from him? Or I could say, okay, that is what happened. What does God want to do now? And the answer is, he always wants to bring comfort. He always wants to help. He always wants to heal. And since God always puts power inside of pain that he allows, there's something, a new kind of ministry, a new kind of opportunity, a blessing in disguise, if we're willing to ask those questions and not just focus on why did this happen.
And you tackle that topic in your book, Through the Eyes of a Lion, and that came out a couple years ago. We have it right here in front of us for everyone watching on Facebook Live, and it is a great book available on Amazon. You can get that. But you also now, you have the latest book is titled Swipe Right, The Life and Death Power of Sex and Romance. This is a book, Pastor Levi, I needed to read 8 or 9 years ago for one reason. Now I need it for other reasons. There's so many great messages in there. Let's start with this. How can our desires keep us from our destiny?
Oh, that's such a good question. Well, you just think specifically about the culture that we're living in where, you know, now Tinder has made it so easy to have sex with strangers, basically. And, you know, you can essentially do in minutes what you would regret from decades. Your question, how do desires keep us from our destiny? Well, think about all the people caught up in those Ashley Madison scandals. They were doing something that felt good, cheating on their spouse by using an app to facilitate a hookup. Well, it felt good in the moment. It felt good for the weekend. Would it feel great to cheat on your wife and do that? Yeah, absolutely. But what about when your kids find out about it? What about when it all goes public? What about when the shame and disgrace sets in because of, you know, you had a desire to have sex with someone underage. Well, your destiny gets changed when you're all of a sudden going to prison for statutory rape. So the point is, we can take a good impulse for sex. God gave us the desire for sex, and we can choose to act out of it in a way that's wrong. Like fire in a fireplace heats up a home, but fire in the drapes, it lights the house on fire. So our sexual desires that God gave us are good, but when they're not governed by God's plan, they can lead us astray.
When I listen to your Swipe Right series, your sermons, on, there's so many different powerful messages that I keep pulling out, and all these lines, and I want to ask you about a few of them because they stick out. And one of them is this. You said you are more dangerous to yourself than the devil. That's strong. Tell me about that one.
Well, the devil can't push you. So a lot of people say the devil made me do it. The truth is he can only give you a bad idea. You have to act on it. So classic example is there's this story in the Bible where Jesus goes in the wilderness for 40 days. The devil tempts him. And one of the things he does is he shows Jesus this high pinnacle of the temple. And he says, jump, you should jump and the angels will catch your feet, wanting to get him to show off. And Jesus wouldn't do it because he said, you shouldn't put the Lord your God to the test. Now, I always think about that. If Jesus is standing on the edge of a high temple and the devil's right behind him, why doesn't he push him? The answer is he couldn't. He could only suggest. So when the devil tempts you, he can only tell you to do something bad. He can only try and get you to have that affair, look at the pornographic website or whatever it is. He can't make you do it. So that makes you then more dangerous to yourself than the devil. Because he can only suggest you to do something. You can choose to do things that will mess your life up, and you don't have to check with anybody.
And you said, at one time, you said, you don't want what the devil is cooking in his crock pot. I want what my wife has home cooking on a crock pot. I definitely don't want what the devil's got cooking for me in his crock pot.
No way, because he's slow cooking the death of your calling. And that refers to a story from Genesis 25 where Esau traded his birthright for a bowl of baked beans. And we can all do kind of sort of the same thing.
Pastor Levi, tell us why we should not apply Moses' rules to our relationships.
Absolutely. You know, in the Old Testament, Moses brought this law down, and it was, you know, standard of this for this, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And I think sometimes that's how marriages work. You know, it's kind of like, hey, you used the credit card to buy this, so I'm going to buy that. You had the kid, I watched the kids last week, so now it's your turn. And, you know, it's kind of like this, like, thing about we're trying to make everything fair and we're trying to, you know, get even and it's my turn and what about me? And I think we can kind of have a Moses principle in our marriages that is exhausting. Instead, we should have a Jesus-centered relationship where it's kind of like grace, and it's more about like what you're trying to give and how you're trying to serve and how you can lay your life down. And, you know, where Moses did the miracle of turning water into blood, Jesus did the miracle of turning water into wine. And if you let Moses run your relationship, it's going to be a bloody mess. But if you let Jesus run your relationship, it can be something beautiful to be savored that, like a fine wine, will just get better with time.
And all of these principles and all of these ideas and everything you are talking about with us right now is found in your book titled Swipe Right, The Life and Death Power of Sex and Romance. And obviously that's available on Amazon, and people can just Google it and figure out how to get that book. I definitely encourage everyone out there to go out and get it because it can really help you. Pastor Levi, we have a few more minutes with you. I want to talk about a couple fun topics because we were discussing this earlier in the show when we talked about our Mount Rushmore of pastors and preachers, modern day, who would we would put on there. And the guys I pick are all, you know, I have you on there. I have Stephen Furtick on there. I have Carl Lentz on. And you guys got you're tatted up. You got the skinny jeans. And you all have that kind of that look, that hipster look. And I think that is so important in today's age, that we have guys who are anointed, men of God, who look like they can appeal to the millennials, who can actually get people to come into their church and speak truth into them. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I think it goes back to Jesus' style of ministry. You know, when Jesus preached, the Bible says the common person heard him gladly. And he was a simple guy. He was a carpenter. He was blue collar. In that day, it was a hardworking society, agricultural. And look at the way Jesus talked. He said stuff like, hey, a father had two sons. One of them ran out to Vegas and got crazy with hookers. the other brother, you know, he would just, and he had people. They were just hanging on by the edge of their, you know, the edge of their seats. Now, the religious leaders of the day, we know them as Pharisees and Sadducees and priests and scribes. These guys, they weren't like people. They wore funny clothes, and they talked funny, and they really kind of were pious and pompous and stuck up. And the Bible says that Jesus preached with power, not like the religious leaders. The religious leaders loved everyone's attention and loved all this, but the way Jesus ministered was just much more street level. So I think what you're kind of saying about maybe a current crop of preachers is maybe we're more like Christ in that we're kind of like normal people who wear what normal people wear and talk like normal people talk, and we tweet and Instagram, and it's just more culturally connected. And I think that's what God wants us all to do, what you're doing. You're honoring God, but you're using radio, you're using ESPN, you're using sports. I think that brings God glory.
Amen, amen. Now, hey, Pastor Levi, I have four Catholic symbol tattoos back when I was a diehard Catholic growing up. So I have St. Christopher, I have the Sacred Heart, I have the Holy Spirit, and this is all. I tried to ink my way to heaven before I actually realized what it meant to be saved by grace. You probably got me beat. How many tats do you have?
I think I've got maybe 15 or 20. I don't have them all counted.
He's definitely, yeah, I got a long way to go. I think I'm done at this
point. But the answer, the real answer is always just one more and then I'll be done.
Yep. Amen. Do you have a favorite sports team?
You know, I grew up in Colorado, so I probably have to claim the Denver Broncos. But my biggest sport that I follow these days is the Tour de France cycling, and then Little Wimbledon and U.S. Open, little tennis.
Wow.
I love it. I love the diversity. Hey, Pastor Levi, this is Kyle Horner. I was just, I love the fact that you guys are both culturally relevant and spiritually significant, because I think that's the blend that can really make an impact in our world. And, you know, I just have a question. You know, so many people in our world today are going through things, and pain is kind of a great equalizer across the way. What would you say to someone who may be feeling lost in the midst of the circumstance? The storm is swirling. Obviously, we've just gone through a lot of hurricanes and earthquakes and natural tragedies, but people go through relational and spiritual tragedies all the time. So what would you say to them to say, hey, how do I find true north kind of in the midst of my lost moments?
Yeah, I think what I talk about in the book, Through the Eyes of a Lion, which is a metaphor for looking at life through the right lens, is that depending on what lens you look through, it's going to change what you see. If I use a magnifying glass, or if I use binoculars, or if I use a telescope, I'm going to see different things than if I just use my regular vision. And if you look at your life, you know, to speak into those who have been devastated, and my heart's been so broken watching people go through these hurricanes and the Mexico earthquake and all of that. If you look at just the pieces of your life, you'll lose heart when you go through hardship. I know when I stood in that emergency room, my 5-year-old daughter breathed her last, and that when, if I just look at the pieces of that, I will get destroyed. But if I use the lens of faith, if I take scripture and I turn it into a magnifying glass or binoculars and I put that on the situation, then I see God, I see heaven, I see forever, I see Jesus dying on the cross to reunite us with God. I see God using my daughter's corneas to bring sight to blind people. If I start looking at it through the right lens, now all of a sudden I see it differently. And so even as I'm 4 years now away from my daughter, I don't see myself as 4 years away from her in the past. I see myself as 4 years closer to her, because every day I get up, I'm moving closer to heaven. And I think whatever's been taken from you, whatever hardship you've had to deal with, if you choose to look at it with your naked eyes, you're going to get discouraged. But if you put the lens of faith on it and look at it again and remember God's there, you're going to get encouraged. And that obstruction is going to turn into new information.
Wow. Powerful, powerful stuff. That is Pastor Levi Lusko from Fresh Life Church. Thank you so much, Pastor Levi, for spending time with us on Faith on the Field Show.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it. Take care. We'll see you.
Thanks a lot.
We'll definitely have to go out there and wow. Go out. Why don't we take Faith on a Field Show out to Montana, guys? What do
That's
you think?
Right, that's good.
Huh? We go out to Montana, maybe Wyoming, Utah,
I'm out,
Canada.
Man.
Go out there. So, no, I'm in.
It's cold out there.
I want to go out. I want to go out to the Midwest. All right. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. That is so many powerful things that he said there in that interview. You are listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
Guys hate to admit it, but sometimes things can start to feel a little out of control. We procrastinate, we battle with anger, and we start to worry about our finances. But we're here to help. At Biblical Strategies, we've spent over 20 years helping people begin to think about life with the help that God offers. Contact us for resources that can begin to help you today. Go to biblicalstrategies.com. Biblicalstrategies.com.
Dan Higgins Wood Flooring is the number one retailer of wood flooring in South Jersey. They have the best and most popular brands, including Bruce, Armstrong, Mirage, Johnson, Mercier, and more. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring has better pricing and service for flooring than the big box stores. Plus, you would be supporting a local business in the community since 1985. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring provides support for your do-it-yourself project, including expert advice and free equipment rental. Contractors can bring their customers to Dan Higgins Wood Flooring showrooms in Medford and Sicklerville. Special discounts are available for contractors and builders. They offer free local job site delivery and installation services are also available. Check out their website at danhiggins.com or call Dan Higgins Wood Flooring at 609-953-7766.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio, Rob Motti, Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner. That was Pastor Levi Lusko, who we just spoke to for about 15, 17 minutes. And he had so many powerful things that he spoke about that, you know, we could fill 18 episodes with. But, Doug, you want to read a little something out of his book, Through the Eyes of a Lion, which came out a couple years ago. Swipe Right is his latest book also.
Yeah, you know, I just got this. And, you know, having him come on, and this is something I want to tackle, although it's going to be a little difficult. But there's a paragraph that he writes in here that he talks about just sitting at the funeral of his daughter, and maybe you can relate to it, but it's, my heart is shattered into 1,000 pieces, each shard jagged and razor sharp. The pain is surreal, deafening, and catastrophic. My eyes burn. I want to cry, but the tears won't come. I want to scream, but it won't help. I am afraid, but I am alone. Now, a lot of people may feel that way, right? We're going through tragedy. I felt that way. Yeah. I can relate to it, right?
Absolutely.
And then, like, if you don't go through tragedy, if you don't go through suffering, you can't relate to that, really. You can kind of be like, oh, that must stink. But, like, you can't relate to it. But here's the difference. Right after that, this is what he says. This is war. Right? And so it's like,
that perspective is incredible.
Like, wow. I was reading it, and I just got, and this is like in the, it's not even the first chapter. It's like the intro,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I got to
intro.
That point,
exactly.
I got to that point, and I put the book down, and I'm like, you know, here we go.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I challenge everybody out there. If you're listening to this, I hope you're not just entertained by that, but I hope it's something that you can hold on to and say, if or when something potentially happens, will I be ready to face it? Am I ready to go to war? I guess that's the big question.
Yeah, we talked about Paul earlier, but, you know, Paul always talks about fight the good fight. And there's always a difference. What we have to understand is that a soldier trains to fight. So there's a season of training, but then there's always a battle that comes. And I think sometimes we, as Christians sometimes, or as people of faith, we go to church, we go to Bible study, we read the word, we do worship, we listen to Elevation, we sing Hillsong songs, and, you know, we like the training part's not bad, but then we get sideswiped by the storms of life, and we don't realize that that's the time for really the fight to rise in us, and sometimes we run when we should stand.
Well, if your identity is found in your job, and that's taken away, and
yes,
you're fighting for that, and that's what you're trying to do, your fight's in the wrong battle.
You know, you said something, Doug, that's really good. You feel like you're all alone. And that's one of the things that the enemy always wants to do.
Correct.
He wants to make you feel like you're alone. That's what he did with Jesus when we referenced the temptations in the desert. So you were not alone. We're never alone.
But that's when you feel closest to God.
We're never alone because we always
never,
have Jesus.
Absolutely.
We always have Jesus.
I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you.
Guys, we are out of time. I want to say thank you to Clayton Kershaw, Pastor Levi Lusko. Thank you to Eastern University, all of our sponsors, Tree Awareness, Rick Santello from Morgan Stanley, Dan Higgins Wood Flooring, Pastor Scott Foreman, our wives, Remy, Chris, and Danielle, producer Ryan Lennox, our business development executive, Julia Livesey. For Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner, I am Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Hey, this is Rob Motti. Let's talk about tomorrow for a minute. Chances are, someday, you're going to want to retire. And even though you'll stop working, you'll never want to stop achieving. You'll want to explore new ventures when you retire. You'll want to see and experience new things because you'll finally have the time to do it. But to get there, you'll need a financial strategy. Rick Santella at Morgan Stanley family can help. Rick is a financial advisor, and he has more than 35 years of experience. Rick can help you create a strategy based on how you want to live now and once you retire. Rick will work with you and your attorney toward your goals like estate planning and leaving a legacy. And the great thing is, Rick is right here in Philadelphia. To make an appointment with Rick Santella, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meet with Rick today to talk about your future, because when you stop working, your retirement income is going to have to work for you.
Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, its affiliates, and Morgan Stanley Financial Advisors do not provide tax or legal advice. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Live from the Cadillac of Turnersville studio in the 555 building of the City of Brotherly Love. This is WTEL AM Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station. We are 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.